The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/TDI. Well, hello, welcome back. This is Andrew Horowitz, and you're listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. It's our special series direct from New York City, when we had the opportunity to spend some time at the Benzinga FinTech Awards 2018. We had some great conversations, and this series is all about that. We have two great guests today. We have Kenny Glick from Hit the Bid and Kumesh Arumagen from Acern. If you want to ask any questions, we're going to have some listener questions coming up on the next couple of podcasts after we finish this special series. Just go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and click on the Ask Andrew button there and ask away. And of course, we'll get back to the regular schedule, but right now we're going to spend some time talking to some really great people from the fintech area of the world, people that are really shaping things. So let's get right down to it. Well, look who I found, Kenny Glick from hitthebid.com. Kenny.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's been a while, huh?
It has
been. How long has it been?
Got to be 10 years, and for somehow, some way, you have stopped the aging process.
Oh, I don't know.
Like I said before, looking great, buddy.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So I remember a number of years ago, we were going to do some stuff back in the day when markets were exciting. They got kind of boring for a while, you know, because they just kept going up, which is fine. I don't mind up, but they got boring.
Yeah.
Up or down, as long as it's not too boring. But what's going on with you and what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, generally, it's been the same. You know, I enjoyed the market going up every day for a while, because what I found was, and it's incredible, the diamonds. Yeah. Something that hardly anybody trades.
Right.
Everybody knows it. It's the Dow Jones. It is the market.
Symbol DIA, yep.
And, you know, many, many moons ago, you only had to rely on your hedge fund managers or your mutual funds if you wanted to participate in the market. I mean, when I first started investing back in the day, I mean, I'm talking right from my bar mitzvah, you had one option. It was a mutual fund.
Yep.
And if the market did well, you most of the time did well, but you had to rely on these guys to pick some good stocks for you. Now, as far as the market's concerned, I find it really difficult to pick individual stocks to win. So when you're in a market where it's only going up, my default was, hey, why not just buy the market? Let's get some diamonds. Let's get some QQQ and let them ride.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, because it was a very consolidated market condition where it was being pushed up, it was being moved, and whatever the reason was, it doesn't really matter, but it was all at once, right? It was one this big upswell.
Right.
Right, but has it changed recently?
Well,
I think so.
Well, I love it that volatility was here to stay up until about 2 weeks ago, and it's already back. But, you know, going back to the diamonds, they were the options. I'm a big options trader, so the options were priced still as if the Dow was this lumbering index that wasn't moving. And you were able to go out, you know, a couple of months out and buy some premium, you know, maybe 200 or 300 points out for a buck, assuming that the Dow wasn't going to move 300 points. The next thing you know, you're moving 300 points a day.
Yep.
So I just kept rolling and rolling into the next month's strike. And I was telling people, it's not going to work like this
forever.
Forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, just like the other side wasn't going to work forever either, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, let's, you know, again, it was a great 8 years. And the joke was, I mean, if you've been around, I mean, I was making videos back when Obama first took over. And I was like, he saved the market. Nobody wanted to give him credit for it. It was the Fed and whatever. But I was like, hey, look, if he's implemented what's working, how about we just rally for 8 straight years to the day he leaves? So I said, you know what? The Dow should hit about 20,000 come January 2017. Let's just hold.
Just hold it.
And I was off by a week of a prediction I made about 6 years in advance.
There you go.
So it was a nice run.
So what are you getting out of this? This is a tech conference. This is the Benzinga FinTech Global FinTech Awards conference. So what do you come here for?
I came to find the algo programmer to take what I've learned over the last 20 years and try to implement that into a program where I don't have to sit there and watch the screen anymore, because I know the parameters. You know the parameters.
Yep.
We've talked about it in the past, you know, the VWAP and my reversals and whatnot. What I find is the most difficult part is sitting there and just physically doing this and, you know, being able to take more than three or four positions on at a time. If I had an algo doing it, and obviously we've been doing this long enough, we've seen the evolution. Fintech wasn't a thing.
Right.
You know, the word millennial, fintech, and passive investing. If I hear it one more time already, I'm just going to...
Yeah. Can you not say it, please?
Right. I know. Stop it.
They go right in the same sentence, don't they? We got to come up with some kind of a conjunction of sorts for that. The passive millennial...
Exactly.
Passillennials.
Yes.
Passillennials investing.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So I'm trying to find some kid that could just strap like some wires to my brain and program this for me and just have it do it for me. Because I want to be the 80%.
Yeah.
Because 80% is trading on algorithms and none of this stuff is coincidental anymore.
I just wonder if that's going to stay. I keep wondering if there is this situation where once everybody goes on algos, the algos no longer are effective because they're all algos. And they're just, you know, it's like, you know, two lightsabers that of identical strength are trying to, you know, fight each other and nobody gets anywhere.
You know what? I've had that same fear. You know, if AI takes over, then what are we doing
right
here?
Now, yeah. But the CTO,
at one point, we're still programming the algorithms, so I guess that's still going to work.
And he's right. Until the computer start programming the algorithms. Right, that's where the problem comes in, right? When the computer starts doing the algorithms.
Right, right, right. But right now, I mean, it's been a good 4 or 5 years since I've been just really just being regimented about my trading. And the thing is, you know, again, we've known each other a while. I do stand-up comedy. I venture into acting. I'm a creative guy. And somebody sat down with me and said, you know, some of your trades fail because you want to be creative. You want to think out of the box.
You're looking for something to be creative about rather than, oh, I don't want that because it's boring.
Right. Boring works.
Yes.
Being the algo works. Being the robot works. And as a creative person who is thinking out of the box and you want more out of it, but there really isn't. It is boring. It's regimented and algorithmic. And if you're going to succeed in this business as a trader, you have to think like a robot, like an algorithm. So it's hard for me to continually think like that. So I'd rather just build one and have it do it for me at this point.
Right. I mean, that's an interesting point, though. So, you know, I often wonder if when we build these things to automatically trade, which, by the way, I am from the standpoint of as a developer, we are also developers. So, you know, that we have I mentioned to you, we just talked about the whole trigger charge thing. As a developer, I am against automated trading for most people. I've seen it. I've taken the strategy. Now, I'm not saying automated trading for you is bad. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is taking my thing that we created and trying to automate it and sell it, or anybody for that matter, because what happens is not every automated strategy fits everybody's time frame, specific security. That's the problem right there. And you can't backtest. You can't do the work on all the different securities. You can't just take a strategy that says, okay, I want to do this, and then try to fit it into any security out there. And what happens is, a lot of people will buy it off the shelf and say, okay, use this strategy. When the 50-day crosses up above the 100-day, buy. Well, that may or may not be the case in, you know, a particular security, right? So I could see it for you, if you know, building it for yourself and building it for others, for that matter, but with the understanding that, you know, sometimes a little more finesse is involved. And I think the finesse is what will separate us and the profitability from those that are just, you know, trying to, you know, start their, good morning, start their engine, like a Bitcoin authentication machine that just let it run and you'll make $32 a day.
Right.
You know, so what are you seeing right now as the opportunity area? So it was diamonds for a long time and LQs and all that. And now that we have volatility in 2018, what are you seeing as the areas to look at?
Well, going back to, you know, I think active trading is starting to get a lot better. You know, we had 2017 where you did not have to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was probably a bad idea.
Right.
You needed to just sit there with your, you know, your diamonds or your Qs. Mm-hmm. But right now, what I've been really focusing on are earnings reports and taking the opposite side of what people try to do. A lot of people want to guess what the stock's going to do when they report. And they don't realize that they're getting completely ripped off by the options market.
Oh, you're
makers.
Talking about the options side of that, right? So, yeah, implied so values.
They're paying up 20-30%. Plus, they have to guess what the report's going to be. Then they have to compensate for the amount they're getting ripped off for. And what I do is I wait for the earnings to come out and those volatility, the just demolished.
Right.
And then I wait for that 1 minute, that reversal on the VWAP where the stock is going the opposite of what you've just read on Yahoo Finance.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my best trades. You know, for instance, Alibaba.
Oh, this year they've been pretty good. Oh, Alibaba's been good. But there's been a lot of those reversals. This last earnings season, which was supposed to be, and it was a very good earnings season. Let's just get that straight. It
right.
was definitely a good earnings season. You know, 23% growth overall of the last year. I mean, that's good numbers came in. There's no question about that. Why? That's the way the problem comes in.
Right.
Why they come in, and are they going to be repeatable, which is why some of these started to, I think, take a little bit of a little vacation from the upside move.
Right, right. You know? Well, at first, we were just getting sell-offs no matter what they were mm-hmm. saying, which was amazing. Those were the best trades.
Yep.
And everyone's sitting there saying, why? But the numbers were so good. Well, it has been 8 years that we've been going straight up on some of these stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So this quarter, they decided to take profits. But also, I love those trades. But I also like the ones where you've got an Under Armour, which obviously it's a terrible stock. And they came out with a terrible number. But next thing you know,
yeah, it reversed buying. Nicely, didn't it?
Absolutely.
I don't know what that was about. I think that was the old, because you definitely looked at all that stuff and it did not look good at all. There was a couple of things about maybe they'd be entering here and cutting back on that. But I think it was also, finally, the we saw that capitulation back a few quarters ago. And then there was the thought that, you know, how much worse can this freaking get?
Right.
How much freaking worse can this whole thing get?
Right.
And it's finally like, all right, let's just buy into it. But you did see that, a lot of that. It was kind of interesting. It's been an interesting quarter.
And again, I'm not long Under Armour anymore.
Yeah.
It's a 1 or 2 day event. And a lot of times these become true reversals and evolve into an AMD, which again started with that same situation. Terrible numbers. The stock was $1.75. Where was that going to go? Was it going to go to zero?
Mm-hmm.
They had a terrible quarter. The stock started to, you know, rally. Next thing you know, 250 got you five got you 750. And then suddenly at $10, it's everybody's favorite stock.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
It's at $10 finally. What, $1 was a terrible stock at $1.
Right. you know more than most people that, you know, sometimes people don't look at anything under $5.
Right.
So once a stock gets over 250, for me, that's significant. 250 usually gets you five. And then at five, you have a new crop of people looking at the stock.
And you have to because, you know, under five, a lot of times the market capitalization also on top of it is not where you need to be. When you get that market capitalization up, all of a sudden we have some screens that we use that, yeah, I agree. Five is not really an issue. It's more market cap, which may be the same thing.
Right.
You know, so yeah. All right. Kenny Glick, hitthebid.com. We'll hopefully see you before the next decade is up.
Yeah. Come on over to New Jersey.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now, you know that I like good business. And when you mix good business with saving money, well, that's just smart. And I found this company, Health IQ, that we're working with as a sponsor, really just fascinating. Because one of the things that they do is they use science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance, specifically for health conscious people like runners and, you know, strength trainers, vegans, cyclists, and a whole host of more. But what's really cool is that 56% of Health IQ customers save anywhere between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. So you may think, well, how do they do that? How does Health IQ, you know, save all this money for people where other insurance companies can't? Because what happens is that when they see physically active people and they realize that, well, they have a 56% lower chance of heart disease or 20% lower risk for cancer and a 58% lower risk for diabetes compared to people who are inactive, well, what happens is you get to save money. So like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, well, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a healthy and more health conscious life. So to see if you qualify, very, very easy. Go to get your free quote over on healthiq.com/TDI. Or mention the promo code TDI when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Again, that's healthiq.com/TDI. I just got back from being up in the rafters, listening to a great presentation by Kumesh Arumagen. He's with Exarn. Exarn?
Exarn.
So you gave a presentation. Hey, thanks for joining me, by the way.
Yeah.
So you gave a presentation on trying to find information from the massive amount, the heaps mm-hmm. of information about that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, pretty much like right now we're tracking everything that's online. So about 1 billion websites. Mm-hmm. So we're tracking over a billion websites, and one of the biggest problems in the industry is finding the most relevant content within the World Wide Web, because there's just so much noise. So that's where Axern comes in. We're able to solve this problem by building sophisticated infrastructure that can ingest all these millions and millions of articles in real time and identify which articles are the most relevant for specific companies or asset class in general.
So let's kind of take a step backwards. Google, or you know, whatever the search engine is, the old days had something called, man, too old for you, Dog. You don't remember Dogpile, do you?
No.
Yeah, it was Dogpile, Lycos, and all that good stuff, okay?
Yeah.
I know, kind of old man, the early web, the 1.0. But they would, you know, these search engines take in the information, they do their whatever they're doing to find out where the relevance is and repost. That's web stuff.
Yeah.
You're looking for specific sentiment, information, storylines, having an AI then decipher what is being said about this stuff, right? And then trying to come up with a cogent response to that for a next day signal for something, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, one of the biggest thing we're solving is we can tailor our AI per industry. So for the financial service industry, there are certain articles that's relevant to these guys. Whereas in a marketing industry, there are certain articles that's relevant to them.
Right.
And so our AI is able to adapt to their nature and help them, give them the most relevant articles for their use case.
So are you a programmer?
No.
Not. So what's your job there?
CEO.
CEO. So, all right, you're the big guy. You're the guy. Hey, keep programming. So let's talk a little bit about something, because something hit me in your presentation. You had two things you talked about. You probably have more than this, but two different areas that you focused in on. The second one, I believe, is called Fundamental
Alpha.
Alpha. Yeah. And you were looking for specific information with regard to trends and stamps, as an example, same store sales for companies. So you gave a couple of examples of that.
Yeah.
And you're looking back 3 months from an earnings date that when the earnings report's going to come out. And then what are you looking for exactly?
Right. So pretty much everything that people are saying about a certain brand online, we're capturing all those articles.
Right.
And then we're able to figure out which articles are positive or negative. If their consensus is very positive or very negative, as in their tone. And then we take all that that sentiment and we plug that into our black box model, which is our AI model, combined with Wall Street consensus data. So this is the data that Wall Street thinks the same store sale is going to be before the company report earning. So by just using Wall Street data generally, you can get a good insights, but by overlaying this additional news data on top of it, your accuracy rate goes up.
So here's what I have a problem with. Not a problem. I don't mean a problem. Just follow me here for a second, okay? So I'm like, hey, that's very cool. I buy into this. I'm all over this. I'm saying, you know what? These guys have it down. So now what I do is, and because of that, you're probably not the only guy doing similar stuff. You know, there's other guys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Me, I got money. I'm going to build the anti-deal. I'm going to go and start spreading all sorts of crap out there that's BS. I'm just saying. I'm serious about this. And I'm going to go and try to bust your algo. I'm going to try to bust your AI. I'm going to try to bust your black box, or not bust it.
Yeah.
Fool it. Possible?
Yeah. No. So
it was a good idea up to there, right? Okay. Well, okay. Go ahead.
So we have two algos that's able to stop that. One is our we can identify if a news article is coming from a human or if it's machine.
It's coming from a bot of some sort.
If it's from a bot, and so we're able to grade these articles based on how much it sounds genuine, as in it was handwritten. And then we have another algo, which is our reliability algo. So it determines how reliable is a source or an author based on the type of information they publish.
So what you're saying is, if there's a Twitter guy with two followers and two posts historically, probably low relevance ratings. But if you got a guy that's a New York Times writer that's been there 22 years, probably a higher ranking for that. So that's, you can kind of cut through some of that stuff. So who is this used by? I mean, is this what price range are we talking about? Is this something the average investor can grab a hold of? Not, maybe not the fundamental, but you have the
black box.
No, but there's the
black scope.
Black scope.
Yeah.
Black scope, which is looking for some other information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's this designed for? The institutional investor?
Yeah, it's all B2B, institutional investors. So we have the quant funds that's paying for it. We have the largest asset management funds that's paying for it. We also have brokerage firms as well that we're connected to. And then like credit agencies as well that's using it. So it's all institutional.
So the ones that bring the information about the news sources that come in, the price action, this, you know, the ones that give you signals on the S&P or the markets. Is that something that some of these guys actually will take and say, okay, we like this enough, mm-hmm. we're going to put money behind it and let just the algo just run mm-hmm. for the day, I guess. They say, okay, this is good news until the next signal comes out, right?
So the way we would do it is they would need historical data. Mm-hmm. So we would give them about 4 years of historical data, and they would backtest that, plug it into their models to see how well it works with their models.
So they could change some of the parameters.
Exactly.
So, you know, maybe some of the of the news and the strength of something.
Or, exactly. Yeah. To see if it improves their existing performance.
Right.
And then they would subscribe to the real-time feed. And then
they can plug that into their box and then make that go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
without revealing any secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's kind of like a hot trend of what we're looking for these days? Is it something?
Yeah, a hot trend would be there's a lot of companies that's actually trying to build their own internal tool
mm-hmm.
where they can connect a lot of different data sources and start extracting insights from those different data sources. So like a lot of news articles, they want to be able to control which website they're scraping. They want to be able to control what type of insights they're able to extract from each article. And they want to be able to make their own decisions using these types of insights.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of companies right now are spending millions of dollars building these types of solutions.
Wow. Amazing.
And so we're trying to, so right now we've been using that entire process to generate these types of products. Now we're going to be able to give companies these things that they've been spending millions of dollars on.
And just wrap it up into a nice ball for them.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
have them pay a subscription price
exactly.
ongoing. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Kumesh Arum again. I appreciate you coming and spending some time with us.
Definitely.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
And that's the conclusion of this special episode of The Disciplined Investor. Join us again next time when we have some more guests coming in. I hope you're enjoying this. And love your feedback. Hit me up on Twitter. Andrew Horowitz is the Twitter handle there. Just one word, Andrew Horowitz. And don't forget to listen to DH Unplugged each and every Tuesday. And of course, download it from your favorite podcast directory, iTunes, etc. We can hear myself and John C. Dvorak breaking down all the news and information that's important to hear each and every week. Until next time, I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.